Let's take our Bibles tonight and be turning to Psalm 119. We're going to read tonight verse 153 down through verse 160. And we're going to bring a message tonight entitled, Bowed Heads and Bowed Hearts. Bowed Heads and Bowed Hearts. I trust it can be a blessing to you this evening. The Bible said in Psalm 153, Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I have loved, or how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. I love this verse. Look at verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Let's pray and we'll get right into this psalm tonight. Father, we thank you for the people of God that have gathered tonight in the house of God. I pray, God, tonight you'll minister through the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit make the Word of God real to us tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one that may get to hear this message. I pray, Lord, it would encourage us, exhort us to live for you. May it, Lord, speak to the heart of the unsaved, Lord, that they might be encouraged to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In thy name we pray, amen, amen. Before I get started in tonight's lesson, how many were here last Wednesday night? Were you here last Wednesday night? We looked at that letter, Ein, last Wednesday night, and the lesson was concerning God sees. And I don't know if you remember it or not, it was what really stuck out in the lesson to me, but there was a part of the lesson where we found that in Jewish thought, to have a good eye was to be generous, and to have an evil eye was to be stingy. Well, I had no sooner got out of the service, and I began to think about something. You remember when we read in its context, the light of the body is the eye, therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Remember we read that in its context, talking about treasure in heaven. And it was actually talking about what the Jewish thought really brought out. Amen, when you read it in its context. But when I got finished preaching last Wednesday night, and I thought I'd share this with you. I think I may have shared it with an individual or two. And I think we all need to think about it. But Achan came to my mind. I wish I would have thought of that before the service, brought that out in the service. But I thought about Achan. Here's what the Bible said in Joshua 7:21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Another text talks about the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Amen. And the lust of the flesh. But what happened to Achan, just like we were talking about, if the eye be evil. See, Joshua had already told him to leave the spoils alone. And that eye drew him away from God's way. Away from God's word to something that he got his eyes on, that he coveted, then he took it, and it cost him his life. And I thought that was a good example of what we were teaching last Wednesday evening in the service. Tonight we're looking at the 20th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. We've told you many times as we've went through these 22 sections of 8 verses, each section begins with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Each verse in the Hebrew begins with that same letter. So we're in the 20th section tonight. The letter is Resh, and the pictogram is a bowed head. It pictures humility and servanthood. Most of the time, I can't wait to get started in a message. Tonight, I can't wait to get to the end. I tell you, there's something over there that I just can't wait to share with you that I ran across in my studies, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. But we see the numerical value is 200. And what it's a picture of, as we think about humility, the first portion of Scripture that I thought about, and we'll get to this portion, was over in Philippians, when the Bible said, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. I'm reading these verses because they're important. I don't think that I've ever looked at this fully in its context. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that bowed head, that servanthood, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I don't think you can find a better picture of the pictogram than the Lord Jesus himself. Amen. He bowed his head. He didn't only bow his head, but he bowed his heart. You see, when our heart is bowed, that affects our innermost being. It affects what we do. In other words, Jesus didn't just say, I love you. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus, the Bible didn't just say that he went about doing good, but the Word of God tells us that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He was a servant. He set the example for us, the cross. And these verses here prior to that, when it talks about being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I'll say this. There are all kinds of differences that God's people can have. But I tell you, Calvary ought to bring us together. Amen? There's all kinds of different ideas about this and about that that we might have. But when we think about the price that was paid on an old rugged cross, that we could be birthed into the family of God, that we could have a home in heaven when we leave this world, that ought to draw us together. That's why the Bible's saying the same mind, like mind. Let this mind be in you. Jesus didn't come for himself. He came for others. Remember that at the end of the lesson tonight. Amen. Jesus didn't live for himself. He lived for others. Jesus didn't die for himself. He didn't need anybody to save him. He was perfect. He died for others. Amen. And praise the Lord that he did. So I hope that's a blessing to you tonight to think about that humility and servanthood that his life pictures. In Hebrews, this word in the book of or in the Hebrew language, this letter Resh, it stands for the head, the bowed head of God's household. God has established a household of faith. God has provided the atonement for sin through faith in Christ, and the head of the house is Jesus. Amen. The servant king who stooped to serve. He's the one that we should be emulating in our life. He's the one that we should want to be like. And ultimately, we should be striving now to be like him. But ultimately, we'll drop this robe of flesh and rise to see the everlasting prize, and we'll be just like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. That's a blessing to me tonight to think about that. I want you to see tonight several things here in the lesson. The first thing I want you to see as we look down through the verses, We see bowed heads in affliction. Now, I'm going to say some things tonight that may not apply to you, but they apply to me. I'll say this. We do better, amen, bowing our heads and bowing our hearts when things aren't going so well than we do when things are going real well. And that's why the psalmist said, it was good for me to be afflicted. Health is like everything else. You don't know what you have till you lose it. Amen? And God wants us to bow our heads in affliction. He said, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. I think about the message Sunday morning. I was so sick Saturday night when God spoke to my heart, I couldn't think of my name, let alone a message. But aren't you glad there's someone called the Holy Ghost of the living God that can speak to our hearts, even in our affliction, amen, that can stir us up, even in our affliction. And I praise the Lord for that. There's bowed heads. The psalmist said, it's good for me, Psalm 73:28, to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I believe that the soil is more fertile in the valley than any other place in life. I believe it's cooler in the valley. I believe it's more peaceful in the valley. And I believe God has a reason for the valleys in our life. The psalmist said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do while I'm in this valley. I'm going to learn thy statutes. I'm going to get in the word of God. Amen. I'm going to let God speak to my heart. I'm going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. In verse number 154, we don't only see bowed heads in affliction, but we see bowed heads in intercession. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the psalmist said, as he is pleading to God, he said, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Plead my cause. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, we think about Jesus not only coming and not only serving and not only dying and not only being put in a grave, but he rose again the third day. And then we find him, I believe, was it 50 days later? Is that right? No, 40 days later, 50 days, Pentecost come. 40 days later, he ascended, and then they had to wait 10 days, amen, on the ascension of the Holy Spirit upon them, the power of God on them at Pentecost. But then he ascended and took his place at the right hand of God the Father. I heard a preacher preach one time on what's he doing sitting there. Amen, that was a good message too. I believe it might have been Brother James Jones that preached that message in a Rock of Ages conference. What's he doing sitting there? But in Hebrews 7:25, the Bible said, wherefore, he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Aren't you glad, thank God, we can bow our heads in intercession, bow our hearts in intercession? But aren't you glad that there's one interceding on our behalf, amen, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He sets the example for us, not only in life, but in heaven. He's setting the example. Jesus said in John 17, he's talking to his disciples, praying for his disciples, talking to the Father. He said, I pray not for these alone, but I pray for all them who through these shall believe. All those down through the ages that are going to believe, Jesus was praying and interceding for us. I don't know about you, but that's a blessing to me tonight. We see bowed heads in affliction. We see bowed heads in intercession. I'm going to take it tonight as it comes in order. I could leave this for last, but I'm just going to take the verses in order. I want you to see tonight those that will neither bow their heads nor their hearts. You see, Jesus, he was a servant, not just in his mind, but his mind affected his body. And that's what he told. He said, let this mind be in you. There's a lot of people that have something in their head that don't have anything in their heart. You say, preacher, you can't say that. Well, let me just say it like this. The difference between a head knowledge and a heart knowledge is a change. Amen? I believe the will is changed. Amen? I believe the life is changed. And Jesus didn't just say that he wanted to save us. He proved that he wanted to save us. He didn't just say he wanted to help us. He proved it. You see, those that will never bow their heads nor their hearts. The Bible said in Psalm 155, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. I got a little tidbit in my heart today from that verse right there. You know, the Bible said there's no man that seeketh after God, and we know that. But the Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe he always initiates that. But I also believe that when a man acts on the light that he has, my wife was saved with a Gideon New Testament. Someone at school had given her a Gideon New Testament. And instead of laying that over there, what did the Bible say right there? It said, watch what it said right here. He said, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. I gave the same kind of testament. It was my work New Testament. I gave it to a man that I worked with in a machine shop. And several years later, the boss of the machine shop gave it back to me. He said the man put it in a trash can the very day that you gave it to him. I'm going to tell you something right now. If that man dies without God and goes to hell, God will hold that little Bible up in front of him. He'll say, I had the answer for you right here. And somebody loved you enough to tell you about me. Somebody loved you enough to give you this. And you threw it in the trash can. Now that's what the Bible's talking about. The wicked will do. They're not interested in the Word of God. That's why sometimes people will walk out on the preacher. They'll walk out on the soul winner. Brother Brian's touched on it in Sunday school many times. That's why sometimes when you knock on the front door, they're hunting the back door. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't have any interest in the things of God. But listen, they're not all like that. There's some waiting somewhere, amen, like Cornelius. He was acting on all the light that he had. And God said, Peter, go down there to the house of Cornelius. His prayers, his alms have come up to God for a memorial. He said, there's somebody that wants to know the truth, amen. Go on down there and talk to him. Listen tonight. What God showed me right here, if a person's lost, it's a dangerous, dangerous thing to turn your back on this old book right here. When a person, my friend, turns their back on the preacher, that's one thing. But when they turn their back on the scripture, honey, where else are they going to go to get any help? Where else are they going to go to find faith? The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There ought to be an interest in the lost man's heart, but with many, there are not. There is not. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. I tell you, I believe that some will never bow. They have a disdain for the Bible. You say, preacher, why won't they bow their head? Well, they will. They'll not only bow their head, they'll bow their knee. But it's going to be too late as far as salvation is concerned. It's not going to be too late as far as the sovereign. Because the same text in Philippians 2 said, God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Someone said to me today, said a lot of people want their ashes scattered all over the globe. They think God can't find them that way. They might be able to hide from God. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't hide from him. Amen. He put it together in the first place, and he'll put her back together, and they'll kneel before the God of heaven. Amen. Everyone that's rejected this book, they'll kneel one day after a while and confess that Jesus is the Lord, that he is the Christ. Amen. Just like the Bible said. Many refuse to bow in spite of the tender mercies. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse number 156. I got another little tidbit from the Lord today. He said, great are thy tender mercies. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many refuse to bow. They have a disdain for the Bible, but they refuse to bow in spite of the tender mercy that the Lord offers. I want to ask you something tonight. Think about this. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let me give you something tonight. Listen to me. Everybody listen to me tonight. Never did I see what God let me see today when I looked at these verses. I've looked at them hundreds of times. But watch what the Bible said. My thoughts are not your thoughts. What was God talking about in this context? He was talking about his mercy, his grace, his pardon. I'm going to tell you something right now. Everyone in this building's probably been guilty of some time or another. There are preachers, Brother Gary, that the other night when they smelled that liquor on that man's breath would have said, what in the world's he even doing here? I was glad he's there. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't cause any disruption. He sat there and listened to the word of God. And I tell you what the Bible's teaching right there. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Honey, we might be thinking there ain't no hope for old so-and-so. Ain't no hope for that girl. Ain't no hope for that man. I want you to know God's mercy. There's hope in his mercy and his pardon. Amen. He's never met a sinner that he could not save. That sinner would repent and trust Jesus. I believe, my friend, listen, that what God is saying is, he don't look at them like we look at them. He don't think about them like we think about them. Amen. I want you to know something right now. I'm glad when my hair was down to there and I was doing everything I could do to fit in with the rebellious hippies. How many's listening to me tonight? I'm glad, thank God, God saw something that many people didn't see. But I am glad also that I had a Sunday school teacher, amen, that didn't get up and harp on me every Sunday, but just kept teaching me the Word of God. After a while, it sunk in. And God brought forth fruit, saved my never dying soul. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that many refuse to bow in spite of the tender mercy that the Lord offers. I want you to see something right here in verse 158. David said here, I beheld the transgressors. Watch this now. In verse number 155, I want you to see his heart. He said, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. If we're not careful, I want everybody listening. Please listen to me tonight. If we're not careful, our heart will get hardened towards the things that God wants to soften our heart towards. And break our hearts towards it. What are you saying, preacher? Wait just a minute. Stay with me. If that's all you have was that verse, salvation is far from the wicked. They seek not thy statutes. I'm sure there's times when the preacher's preaching that it might seem like he's hard. It might seem like, where's the mercy? Where's the grace? There was times, I'll guarantee you, when John the Baptist was preaching, it might seem like, oh, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It might have seemed like he was hard. And that's the way it seems right here in this verse. But wait a minute. Look at verse number 158. The Bible said, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. I remember riding with some preachers in the Chicago area. I remember the statement that was made. I want you to look going yonder. That's the way Southern people talk, amen. I want you to look going yonder. I can remember being with my dad, going to work in Meadowview one morning. And there was a man out in the middle of the intersection. Paul talked about as one that beateth the air. Brother Rose, he looked like he was boxing Muhammad Ali, but there wasn't nobody there. I don't know if he was on drugs. I don't know if he was out of his mind. I don't know if he was like the maniac of Gadara. I don't know. But right out in the middle of the intersection, there's an awfulest fight going on, and there wasn't nobody there to fight. So, preacher, what are you trying to say? When we see those things, how does it affect us? I will tell you something. I'm glad I'm able to weep. I'm glad I'm able to remember when that guy's standing over there and he can't hardly stand up. It wasn't for the grace of God. I'm glad I'm able to remember when you see a guy that's curled up in a box where the steam comes out of the vent. If it wasn't for the grace of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe with all my heart that's what the psalmist is saying right here. I want to ask us a question tonight. When we see the lost, when we see those that are on their way to hell, most hell wide open before the sun goes down, is anybody grieved? Does it break our heart when men and women are not saved by the grace of God? I believe that. We talked the other day about revival and signs of revival. Sister Kay, I don't know why you're sitting back there tonight. I wouldn't sit behind John Dockery at all. But my God is my witness, Sister Kay. I'm not just saying this. But when I was preparing to preach the other night, all I could think, Sister Jennifer, was Sister Kay always wants us to pray for her lost people. All I could think was, God, there may be some of them people sitting there. And listen to me. You can't. We need to be grieved. Because people are dying without God and going to hell. We need to be grieved. Somebody's preaching on the radio one time, and I know a lot of things are just out of habit. A lot of men, I'm sure I've got habits that I'm not even aware of. One of them's eating. I'm aware of that one. But this man was preaching on sinners, and he said, I'll tell you, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell, praise the Lord. I've asked God many years ago not to let me preach on hell with dry eyes. God, if I preach on hell, I want to know you're leading. But I don't want to preach on hell with dry eyes. I don't want anybody to leave thinking that I'm glad or that he's glad, because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One of the things the Lord brought out the other night in James, I think it was chapter 4, is we're not the judge. And I'm just giving you this tonight, something to think about. What about the man in incest in the book of Corinthians with his stepmother? If you and I walked in on that situation, knew about that situation, that man died, you and I might have a tendency to say, I tell you what, that old boy went to hell. Listen to me tonight. What did God tell Paul? He said, turn such a one over to Satan. That's what Paul told the church of Corinth. That the soul may be saved in the day of judgment. That the flesh might be destroyed. But the soul might be saved in the day of judgment. In other words, we may not have known the whole story. And I'll tell you something tonight. I'll guarantee you we still don't know the whole story. Amen. The man repented. And they were still wanting to throw him out of the church. Paul had to go back and tell him to forgive him. Seemed like the church at Corinth was like us a lot of times. They're like me a lot of times. Just have to keep telling them what to do. But I'll tell you something right now. If we'd have walked up on David at a time in his life
How many's with me tonight right here? I'm just trying to tell you. We'd have walked up on him, Brother Larry, at a certain point in his life. We'd have said, if that man's a Christian, the woods are full of them. Right? We need to be grieved. Not only over sinners, but when a man says he's saved and he ain't walking like he ought to walk, we ought to be grieved over that too. I'll say this on any given Sunday. I just about guarantee you, I've heard some of the testimony. There's people right here who got saved but didn't always live for God. God's the one that knows. And David wanted us to be grieved. He said, salvation's far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Many are my, in verse 158, he said, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Seems to me like he's putting a real big emphasis on the word of God in that lost person's life. A real big emphasis. We come on down in the text tonight. We need to bow because we have an enemy. We see bowed heads in affliction. We see bowed heads in intercession. We see those that will neither bow their heads nor their hearts. Many refuse to bow in spite of the tender mercy the Lord offers. We ought to be grieved about that. Sister Teresa, one of them little grandbabies of yours, honey, was deathly sick. And Grandma had a little cup. And Grandma knew that all they need to do is take what's in that little cup. And you just couldn't get them to take it. You'd be grieved. It would break your heart. And you and I ought to have a broken heart. Because we know the Savior is offering the gift of God to whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. Grieved. Then David said here, many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. We need to bow because we have an enemy that we cannot handle on our own. Let me say something right here. Most of the time when I say that, my mind goes immediately to the wilderness. Jesus being led of the Spirit out into the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, he fasted. Here come old Slewfoot. Jesus answered, it is written. He answered again, it is written. He answered again, it is written. We need to bow, and that's what David is saying here. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. David's saying, I want to stay close to the book. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Let me say this tonight. Most of the time when we think about our enemies, we think about immediately the devil, and certainly he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Certainly he is the child of God's enemy. Let me tell you about another enemy you can't handle. You look at him in the mirror. You say, preacher, I tell you, thank God I've got the upper hand over the flesh in my life. You didn't do it without help. I guarantee you the Holy Ghost has helped you. If you're walking in victory and you're walking, my friend, listen, and you're not a slave to the flesh, it's because the blessed Holy Ghost of God helped us, amen, along the way. We can't win over the devil without his help. We can't win over the flesh without his help. And we cannot win over this world without his help. That's why we ought to do all that we do to the glory of God. He said, many are my persecutors and mine enemies. I wonder how many Baptists today, I'm talking about Baptists because that's what we are. I are one. I wonder how many, Brother Rose, given the opportunity that David was given with Saul that night in the cave, I wonder how many would have said, well, I just thank God, be pleased, get rid of that sucker. I'm going to tell you what, listen, when the Spirit of God had already left Saul, how many's listening tonight? David kept on calling him God's anointed. I'm not going to touch him. No wonder this blessed old book said he was a man after God's own heart. No wonder. Tonight he said, my enemies, my persecutors, they're many, but I'm not going to decline from thy testimony. Let me just say this, and I'm going to move right on tonight and finish up. There are people that at the first sign of trouble, how many knows I'm telling it right? Honey, you get saved, everything going good, everybody loves you, so to speak. But at the first sign of trouble, there are people that run the other way. When the enemy comes, when the persecution comes. Jesus talked about that in the parable of the sower. Like being on a rock, it didn't have any root. Like being by the wayside, the fowls of the air come along, gobbled it up. Like being among thorns, choked by the cares of this life. But David said, I'm not going to decline from thy testimonies. And then let me give you this. Lastly, we need to bow because it will pay eternal dividends. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look what it said right here. David said, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me. This is where he found his life. That's what that word quicken means. That's why the Bible said, give us this day our daily bread. One of the ladies the other day, I don't remember which one it was. Oh, it was Sister Mary. She's here. She's back there in the closet going through some bread from Bible school. Had mold all over it. She said, preacher, you need to look at this stuff around here before you eat it. You need to look at the dates on it. I think maybe she might have been thinking that's what made me sick, but it wasn't. It's Miss Eve's cooking. She ain't in here. I'll say whatever I want to say. She probably looked at that screen back there, ain't she? Amen. No. Forgive me, darling. Amen. Y'all know better than that, don't you? Amen. But the reason I believe a lot of God's people, I use a word reluctantly, but I think y'all have heard it. Mama used to say a lot, yo, sourpuss. That's what she'd say, yo, sourpuss. But I believe a lot of people got that look on their face because they've been eating molded bread. The Bible said, give us this day our daily bread. I used to know a guy when I was a teenager, Brother Henry, that could take a piece of molded bread, scrape a mold off of it, and put peanut butter on it. Not this old boy. No, sir. If a rat's chewed into the corner, I don't want the piece on the other end of the loaf. Somebody help me. Amen. Don't y'all look at me like that. Like you ain't never had a mouse in the cabinet. Amen. God wants us to have fresh bread every day of our life. The psalmist said, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken thou me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. He said, thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. In Luke chapter 11, and verse number 1, the disciples, it came to pass that as he was praying, he was Jesus, praying in a certain place, when he ceased or when he stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Brother John, I've often read that verse and wondered if you or I walked in on Jesus and he was in one of these Sunday school rooms or somewhere praying and we walked by and we heard him. We stood there a little while. I wonder, Brother Rose, when he come out of that room, if we wouldn't say, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Everybody's with me tonight. Bowed heads and bowed hearts. Humility. God wants us to be humble. I'll share this with you and I'm done tonight. A truly humble man is hard to find. I read this. Yet God delights to honor such selfless people. Booker T. Washington, the renowned black educator, was an outstanding example of this truth. Shortly after he took over the presidency of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, he was walking in an exclusive section of town when he was stopped by a wealthy white woman. Not knowing the famous Mr. Washington by sight, she asked if he would like to earn a few dollars by chopping wood for her. Because he had no pressing business at the moment, Professor Washington smiled, rolled up his sleeves, and proceeded to do the humble chore she had requested. When he was finished, he carried the logs into the house and stacked them by the fireplace. A little girl recognized him and later revealed his identity to the lady. The next morning, the embarrassed woman went to see Mr. Washington in his office at the Institute and apologized profusely. He said, "It's perfectly all right, madam. Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." She shook his hand warmly and assured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endeared him and his work to her heart. Not long afterwards, she showed her admiration by persuading some wealthy friends to join her in donating thousands of dollars to the Tuskegee Institute. That story spoke to my heart. She didn't know who he was. I've actually had instances where, I'm not going to get into all that, but she didn't know who he was. I'll put it like this. I've known preachers that would have said to that woman, "Don't you know who I am?" That wouldn't have dared rolled up their sleeves. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. I told my wife this morning, she heard me in there, I was reading and studying, and I said, "Honey, tell me something. You know anything about Booker T. Washington?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I don't, but I'm learning." I said, "I read about this man." I said, "Come here and read this story." She read the story. I said, "That man sounds like a Christian man to me." And I didn't know, Brother Larry, I'm being honest. I didn't even know anything about it. He was influential in helping the black community to realize the need for education, the need to roll up their sleeves and quit crying the blues, so to speak. Amen. And the need to take their part in society. So I looked this up. Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver, they were both children of slaves. They overcame seemingly insurmountable barriers to find renown in the fields of education and science. Both men retained strong personalities that occasionally came into conflict, like iron sharpening iron. Their differences served to refine and define their collaborative work. An abiding faith in Christ and a sense of divine appointment guided them through a world of dark prejudice with humility and self-confidence. They quietly proved their oppressors wrong, and along the way, they made remarkable discoveries and contributions that have benefited mankind to this day. When I read the first part, I had to go digging. And boy, did it bring much joy to my heart to find out there's a reason this man was humble. He was walking humbly with his God. Bowed heads and bowed hearts. Here's a quote from Booker T. Washington. I'll finish with one verse of Scripture. Excellence is to do a common thing in an uncommon way. I just want to stop and say this. When I read that, I'm not going to mention any of them. I'll forget something. But I'm going to tell you, all I could think about this one and that one and this one and that one and this group and this group in our church that are forever doing common things in an uncommon way. It blessed my heart. Common things. Excellence is to do a common thing in an uncommon way. He said, you can't hold a man down without staying down with him. If you want to lift yourself up, he said, lift up someone else. I say hallelujah. Joy. Jesus first. Yourself last. And others in between. Listen to what the Bible said. Micah 6 and verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. How many could pray with me tonight? God, help us just to walk humbly with our God. Bowed heads and bowed hearts. Resh, that 20th letter in the Hebrew alphabet, picturing a bowed head, picturing a servant's heart. You can't think about that without thinking about our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Left heaven, came to earth, so that you and I, never worded it like this before, but I'm excited about it, could leave earth and go to heaven. Hallelujah. Left heaven and came to earth so that you and I could leave earth and go to heaven. I'm glad this world's not our home, aren't you? Amen. That ought to humble us tonight to know that we have a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I'm just glad you come tonight. I hope you are. I hope we'll be looking for ways between now and Sunday to walk humbly with our God. We might do something to help someone else along the way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Thank you for your word, for the precious Holy Spirit, for the precious liberty to preach the word of God. Lord, we're excited tonight about what you're doing. Lord, this man, Booker T. Washington, Lord, he's in heaven tonight. Here I am being blessed. He, being dead, just like Abel, still speaking. Lord, before you ever spoke a world into existence, you knew you could encourage a preacher's heart by an example that a man said years ago of walking humbly with his God. God, help me to do that. I pray, help me to do that. Help our church, Lord, to never be haughty, but to always be humble. We realize, God, if we had what we deserved, we'd ever want to be fried in hell tonight. You've been so good to us, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. In thy name we pray. Amen.